and welcome to Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It's a brand new year, and that means there's a lot of good stuff happening that we still have to get caught up with. I wanted to just kind of take a moment to say I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate the fact that you download the shows, and the feedback is excellent. Whatever is going on, there's so much in terms of overwhelm all over the world. And just starting off this year, I think it's a good time to kind of reconnect and just make choices about what's empowering and what's important for you. And no matter what's going on with anybody else, you always have the ultimate decision of where you can put your focus. So right now, we're going to talk with Deborah Silverman, and she's known as, far and wide, Sting's astrologer, probably more than that, but that's what gets all the press. And Deborah also at one point had a show on Empower too, so you might be familiar with her already, but checking in with the new year. Deborah, you're in Hawaii, and I think so many people would love to be where you are at this moment. So just off, you know, the top of my head, aloha. I feel better already.
Aloha. That's funny. It's true though, isn't it? Hawaii, as soon as you think of it, just puts a smile on your face.
Yes, it's that ha moment.
That's breathing. Okay. You know what aloha means? It means to breathe with another. When they say aloha in the ancient Hawaiians, they stand cheek to cheek and they take a deep breath together and they say aloha, and ha means breath. So it's a great way to start an encounter. Instead of kissing someone, you breathe with them.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's a very romantic their language, their belief system, I think it's also much more personal that you bring that, the human aspect.
Yeah, because you're pretty much naked here, living in the sun, drinking out of a coconut that you just broke with a knife. Yeah, it's a little more raw and authentic.
Yes, rub it in.
When you're wrapped up in a coat with a fire and you're hiding under the bed because the snow's about to get you. Yeah, a little different.
Well, we're checking in the new year. This is something that I think, you know, with all the upheaval and the chaos of last year, I think people are looking for a change, but it doesn't look like that the way the weather is going and the way the news headlines keep churning out more of flotsam and jetsam. How can you help us redirect for 2018?
I think it's so funny. We are in the time the prophets all long to live. This is the first time ever in the history of this planet of this many people. There's 7.5 billion people. So we're stretched beyond our limits. In my book, The Missing Element, I talk so much about the prophecy and what was coming. And this was not to be surprised that we would hit this skid row when we reached a pitch at this level of volume that we consume, and there's noise and there's distractions and there's technology. We're like living in a society that the future is here. It's not quite the way the Jetsons portrayed it, but it is definitely, like in the Jetsons, they didn't have crazy governments. They didn't have governments. That's so funny. But in our society now, we're at the end of an era, and things are breaking. And there's nothing wrong with that, except it's so uncomfortable at the end of anything, at the end of a relationship, at the end of a school year, at the end of a transition, at the end when death comes to get us. Everything's so, it's horrible for most people. And it requires elders and wisdom to go, oh, God, there's so much change. Look at the weather. And how do we have the overview, the big picture? This is why I love astrology so much, to come to peace. So we're not captured by the something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong, which is, you know, what everyone's emotional body's saying. This is horrible, and look what's going on with the weather, and everything's wrong. And that's true if you don't have the long view. And if you have the long view, which is what astrology does, you go, oh, this was predicted. We knew we were coming into this.
Part of it's because of the overwhelm and the fear of the unknown. You know, when you don't know what's coming, it's like sometimes people are more likely to jump to the wrong conclusion or the, this is a bad thing, instead of, well, this is going to stabilize, or I will be stable no matter what the external environment says.
Exactly. Well said. So if you think back to your parents and your grandparents, as far as we can go back, they lived in these destabilizing times. My grandparents came across the ocean from Russia and had nothing, and they were terrified, and the world was breaking, and everything was at war. And then they arrived here, and for some semblance of time, there was the pretense, like after the Depression, like, oh, look, it's the 50s, and we can act normal and put little outfits on, and no one knows. That lasted about half an hour. So the whole thing is we're constantly in change. The human psyche longs for, as you said, for predictability. And the design of creation is about destruction and That's the nature of creation, is it always comes through destruction. So it's too bad we're not trained in school as kids to be said, listen, this is reality. Reality is you get scared, things break, they change all the time, and you are the constant, as you just described. So if you can bring stability, and this is why I love astrology so much, if you know where your home base is, like what does it take for you to get stabilized based on your personality, because everyone does a different version, what liberation is there? God, that's so cool. And that's why I love my work so much. I get to give people stability.
Well, okay, now the book, let's, from very overview, the missing element, compassion. What is the missing element?
Compassion for the Human Condition is the subtitle of the book. So the book is called The Missing Element, and the subtitle is Compassion for the Human Condition. That is one of the missing elements, is that if this is what we're talking about today, compassion. So you know as a human creature that you're going to learn from heartbreak. This is the dumbest movie. Who made this up? So you know as a human creature you're going to learn from heartbreak, and you know as a human being you're going to have change constantly, like nothing stays the same. And you know as a human being you're going to die. These are kind of miserable truths.
Okay, yeah, let's focus
and
on
this. And then the missing element is, oh, well, if I have my awareness on, or I know this is coming, or I have an understanding, then suddenly there's compassion. Like I go, oh, I like being human. I like the fact that I have to deal with pain. I mean, it's a hard sentence to use, but you can pretend. This is the high road of the spiritual path. Is we pretend like, yeah, we like this change, and we knew this was happening, and it becomes a practice, certainly for me. It's a daily practice for me. Like, how am I going to accept today with all the change that's coming, like the weather today in America? We're having the worst winter in Florida and Tallahassee. There's snow today. Like, there's such a crazy cycle going on. So how do I really loved what you said. How do I find me as the center? Like, where am I going to hold down steady when we absolutely know that change is coming? So, you know, I think it's a psychological, this is why these podcasts and radio shows, and there's such an incredible, and books being written, because we're trying to figure out how to make ourselves happy in the middle of a very, what seems to be scary. I'm not sure it's that scary, it's just sad. Sad when people are feeling so vulnerable.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I work in the news media peripherally, and that part of it is the headlines are constantly replaying the drama, 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 drama. And you hear the headline over and over again. It's like a repetitive bad image, and it continues to replay, and you have to break the cycle and say, okay, I need to choose a better focus.
Yes.
And
yes,
when you're doing with astrology, you're looking at the potential for change. You're seeing the influences. What are you looking at overview? Let's get into that, because that's where you're, that's your forte.
Yes, okay. So today, isn't it interesting? Just, this is the first thing that I've been really noticing. When the Me Too movement began, the women, I love that Time magazine this year chose the person of the year was a group of women who were the whistleblowers.
Yeah.
When Jupiter entered Scorpio, which was exactly 2 months ago, right the week that this all came out about Weinstein, Jupiter entered Scorpio. Jupiter is, it goes between being 1,000 times the size of Earth and 300 times the size of Earth. I've read them both. But in any case, it's giant. It's the biggest planet in our galaxy. It's the planet of joy and expansion and loud and freedom and big and juicy. And it entered the sign of secrets, Scorpio. So all of a sudden, the secrets came out. So the first movement is a collective that we're seeing with Jupiter entering. And by the way, any of you out there that are Scorpios or Tauruses, you're in for a really wonderful year, 2018, because Jupiter's here to say happy birthday. And it's also activating for us as humans the opportunity to tell the truth, secrets. Like, it's okay to say, I was abused. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Now isn't that crazy? It just happened a week that began. Then the next thing that just happened here at the entrance of Christmas of 2017, and then throughout the next 2.5 years, Saturn just changed signs. So the last 2.5 years, it was in a fire sign. And look what happened. Fires and disruption and breaking things down. It was an incredibly difficult 2.5 years with the politics, with the entrance of Mr., I don't know what to call him, Trump, with this incredible movement of breakdown, fire cycle, 2000, and it was like, I want to say 2014 through 2017. 15. It was at the end of 2015. That's right. Okay. And now that was the fire cycle. Now we've entered an earth cycle as of Christmas for the next 2.5 years, where we're going to have to look at our, this is coming soon, money, practicality, how do we deal with the government, the quality of our value system around who's the leaders. Am I the leader? Am I listening to this leader? Do I have to be an activist and do something to change the story? It's earth. It's like, let's get grounded and practical about what we're going to do around, for example, the global issue, the global climate issue. So I think what's going to happen in the next 2.5 years, different than the last 2.5 years, which was kind of a, you know, can you swear on the show? Kind of a big show. The next
he'll cut it out.
Is now we're grounding. And now we're saying, how do we establish our own government? Like, what am I going to do about, say, the immigrants who are being asked to leave this country? What am I going to do about climate change being revoked? What am I going to do? I had a dream the other night that Trump was going around in this big house unplugging everything. Just, I kept saying, what are you doing? Just unplug, 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 unplug. So we're going to have to step in the next 2.5 years and reestablish, put the plugs back in from a ground level. And that's the change that's going to happen over these next 2.5 years. The government will come back into our hands, your own internal government, how you deal. It's a time for Capricorns. Anybody out there is a Capricorn or a Cancer, Libra, Aries. You have to reestablish your definition of discipline and focus and what you want to do when you grow up. Those questions will be very big for those four signs. But for our collective, we have to really look at the government. Within the next year, it's going to get so bad that people at the ground level will start stepping up and saying, hey, here's the movements. We've already seen it. It began in 2017, but it's going to get very pronounced at a practical level. How do we adjust our leadership to become responsible, not for the government to tell us what to do, but for us to have our voice? So it could be a bit of an uproar. It's more like 2018 is when the uproar happens, when Pluto and Saturn come together. Right now, it's just a conversation that's going to show up at a ground level. And it's exciting to me. Like, people are going to wake up to say, how can I? Because we can't sit idle. It's not going to last much longer. We've been, you know, already getting upset, which is so cool. It's so good.
Well, I don't know. In terms of getting everyone on the same page at the same time is a tall order. But there seem to be more in ways I've seen the political aspect, more interest in getting together in groups and becoming more active. And that's the change I've seen.
Yeah, you're right. That's Saturn and Capricorn. The structures and the organization in numbers will start to do a ground level approach to what are we going to do? And we already saw that at the entrance as he came in. But so that's going to continue. And money and the structure of our government and how it runs and what the value system is, all that's going to be up for grabs. Like, we can't communicate. Well, the first problem we have is, which I find remarkable, is that the Republicans and the Democrats won't talk. There's no conversation. It's just always anger.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it crazy? We're at this level of maturity. We have this incredible sophistication of communicating like we are right now on a phone across the country. I'm in Hawaii, and we're doing this podcast news radio show, and then suddenly people hear it in their ears and it settles in their heart. This is so advanced. Your grandmother could never talk about astrology on a radio show. but at the same time, we're so immature, we can't go across the street and talk to the Republican without getting all upset and start screaming to the Democrat. It's like an unbelievable, instantaneous argument.
Well, some of that, I think, is the frustration that really has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. I think it's with their own personal situation of what isn't working right in my life, and then this is how I can vent. And so
exactly. That
takes it away from the personal to, okay, it's okay for me to be angry here because I'm not acting out at home. And that's where I'm hoping there will be some shifts where people feel more at home empowered rather than, you know, if you can't, sometimes when you can't express yourself in your own personal situation in an intimate way, then you take it out somewhere else, you know?
That's why I love my school so much, the astrology, because I do one person at a time learns their chart. We study, when you come to the school, you actually study your personal chart. It's a 6-week class. Your chart comes up on a screen. You're on an internet with 10 women in a circle. And up comes your chart, and we study what you are, who you are, how to vent and get out whatever you're frustrated. So then it softens. Everyone gets softened. They lose weight. They find themselves in love again. They start to exercise. They get reawakened. And then, as you just said, then one person at a time has less angst, and they can actually have a conversation because they're back to their own skin. But then they become like astrology zealots. It's so funny to watch. They start falling in love. It's so, you want to turn everybody and your cousin onto it. Like, come learn, because you too can fall in love with yourself and be nice and stop being pissed off all the time.
There's also something about some people identify with that emotion, period. There's no other emotion that's safe to express except the anger and frustration, because the others imply vulnerability. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, what you're describing is some people who are fire, they get angry rather than get vulnerable. But once you learn, this is one of my points. So when you learn astrology, you go, wow, my propensity is to get pissed off rather than get emotionally sensitive. That's what I've got to change. And so that's what you learn in the astrology class. Like, wow. Or the other opposite. My propensity is to stop talking, to go internal, hold all this in, and then blow up down the road because I didn't know how to express it. So there's different styles, but you learn your personality style. That's what happens in the class. It's all based on you learning you. It's so fun.
Well, and then you also do online, you do what, your horoscopes for everybody about every 3 days or so?
Yeah, every 2 days. Yeah, that's me. But that's the difference. Yes, of course. You guys can all go see free. If you go to, I have the Star, have you seen it yet? Thestarcommunity.com.
No, I haven't.
It's a platform for $22 a month. You can get every other day, you get a video that tells you where the moon is. And then you can get a video about the full moon and the new moon and the retrograde. There's a whole way to learn astrology. It's called The Star Community, three words. .com. And yes, I do videos, but this is the class. The class is a much more in-depth personal entrance into your psyche. Like, why do I do what I do? Like, why? It's such a great example. Why do I get angry rather than get vulnerable? And then why do I get vulnerable rather than get angry? That's the difference between fire and water. A fire personality gets angry, and a water personality gets nonverbal when they're upset. They can't get angry. They just shut down. Two completely different styles. Then the third one is air. They start talking incessantly. That's when they're upset. They can't be quiet. And then the earth person's like, look it, this is costing too much money. We need to take care of this. I'm going to tell you what to do.
Okay, yeah.
There's four different personality types. That's all in my book. You take the personality test in the middle of the book, and you find out, like, which one am I? Which, you know, such a great question. Which one am I? Which one do I get stuck on? Or which, well, where am I? Where's my style? That's the question.
You've got a great endorsement with Sting.
Say that again?
You've got a great endorsement from Sting.
Yeah. It's so, you're so right. You know, I always say that the day before I was knew Sting, I was the same astrologer, but the day after he did the endorsement, suddenly I was a famous astrologer. I was the same astrologer the day before. I don't understand. But something about his endorsement, and then Madonna, and then I've been working with Shailene Woodley, and I've been working with some famous musicians, and but it's so funny. It's such a society, it's such an ego structure. We value celebrities. I find it fascinating.
Well, and part of it's a bookmark. It's like, oh, and if you're a fan of the celebrity, then it's okay, I have something in common with this person.
Yeah.
So you resonate with me.
It's psychologically embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing how much we let, if you stop and think about it, it's like, why does that person, they do the same thing we do, but they're famous? Because they've got a gift, because they're an artist.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sometimes the other thing too, though, is that you value that person as well. And so you've drawn that person to you. And so then you're drawing people who are attracted by that element. And it's a way of finding common ground. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't mind that. I mean, for some reason it entertains me that since I'm Sting's, and then there's such a funny story. I just got an interview. Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. There's a wonderful musician called Trevor Hall, who I endorse all the time. His music is extremely healing and very magical. And so he was one of my heroes, and I saw him at a concert about 4 years ago, and I walked up to him. And why does he tell the story? Now I'm telling it. I walked up to him and I said, I wanted to impress him so he would come and have dinner with me. We were in Boulder. It was the end of a festival. And I said, Trevor, hi, I'm so glad to meet you. I'm Sting's astrologer. He looked at me like, who says that? And after I said it, I was like, why did I say, I didn't know how to establish who, like, that, just what your point is. Like, now that you like him and I like him, I'm cool. Of course, it didn't work. He was like, no. And then years later, fast forward, he then came for a session, which changed his life. And now he wrote a whole album about astrology, Fruitful Darkness. And now he makes fun of me. Like, did you really walk up to me? And I did. I can't. What was I thinking? But it's a great story. Oh, it's a little embarrassing.
It's an excellent story. But see, that's the human element that says we're all the same. We want to be needed. We want to be respected. Sometimes we don't have the right words, so we just blurt out something and, okay, maybe this will make a difference. And you're like, oh, crap. Whoops.
Did I just say that? I know. That human part is one of my, I find it fascinating. It kind of embarrasses me. How come I'm such a human creature that gets so caught in emotions. I mean, I bet everybody out there, like someone cuts you off on the road and now you're screaming at them and then you're like, what happened to all that spirituality from the radio show I was just listening to?
Well, and that's it. That's it. I know what I've had to label myself, and it's like I struggle. Here come the dogs. I struggle with a title because I'm not any label. I'm just me. And at the same time, trying to put myself out there, how do I condense it into something? So I understand when you said I'm Sting's astrologer, at least that kind of cut to the chase. Hey, I do astrology. Sting likes me. Maybe you will too.
Yeah, it didn't go over at all. He looked at me like I was nuts. But in the end, we've been telling, and then when he told the story in public, I was like, well, now first it was embarrassing the first time, now here I am telling it. But it's the human element.
Yes.
It's what makes everybody smile, because we feel such relief when we know we're not the only idiot out there. Like, really? You like me? And even though I'm such a goofball, and that is probably the most vulnerable part about being alive, is there's the spiritual schmiritual, I call it, which we're all doing on the radio, talking about the theories, and then there's the, when you get cut off in the car by the guy that really pissed you off, or your lover decides that he doesn't want to see you and your heart's broken, and whatever those flavors are that make us go, oh, my life just turned into a human episode. After all that spiritual schmiritual stuff, I just got raw and vulnerable.
When you were working on the missing element, what was your favorite? I mean, because this is talking about real people, the human factor. What for you is, if somebody's going to read it, the most, I think, the most primal of that that will grab your heart?
Good question. Well, there's two stories in there, or three, that are really poignant, and I think you can pick either. It's going to be, you can pick either water or air. What story do you want?
Water.
So he was a fireman for 25 years, worked in New York City's downtown. This is a crazy story. He retired on September 9th, 2001. He had a big roast. He was moving to Hawaii. He had a big, they gathered all together on September 9th to 10th. They had a big party. September 11th, he was flying out of New York City. He's going across the city, and he looks out the window on his side, and he sees the World Trade Center on fire, and that was the firehouse that he'd had, the one next to it, for the last 25 years. The plane lands. He finds out that every man of his team, including the guy that took his job the day before, was dead. And then he comes to work with me. And this chapter is all about water, which is obviously the tears, the sadness. It makes me, just right now telling the story, gives me the willies. And then he had to learn forgiveness, and he came to work with me to say, I don't know why I'm alive. It's all he kept saying, how come I'm alive? And then second, how do I forgive the men that did this to my life? Like, all the men, all my best friends are dead. And so the story is in the book is all about water, is the chapter that has to do with compassion for the human and the pain body and sadness and depression. And what do we do when we navigate through that world? And the book has directions and instructions for people who really do get victimized by their emotions, the ones that shut down, not the ones that get angry. And so the story is beautiful. I loved that man. It's so funny that it was a fireman who's in the water chapter.
Yes. Well, and I remember that because for one thing, he had survivor guilt of, he couldn't be there. He couldn't be there for them. And
he left the day before.
Yeah. Why
am I alive?
Yeah. What happened? Why did I, what was it? What was different? And for me, knowing that sometimes those things, there are no perfect answers, but then you have to figure out.
No, he had a purpose. No, then his story became, I mean, he was alive because he learned to heal and he learned to forgive. And that was definitely he became a missionary, so to speak, for understanding healing. He did forgive those men that killed all of his friends.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and with this, how does astrology factor in?
So like, his personality type. So then I get to say to him, okay, let's talk about this. Like your personality type, very clearly, he is the kind of guy that would shut down. If he didn't do the healing work, if he wasn't interested in doing therapy and doing what it took to get back, he would have turned into a very depressed, sad guy that had PTSD who never recovered. But quite the opposite. He really went straight into, how do I heal? How do I heal? It's all he wanted. And that's the right use of water, using your sensitivity to figure out how to heal, versus using your sensitivity to shut down.
Okay. And I don't know if we've got time for the fire story, but with your program, the easiest way for people to connect for you, with you, to do the class and experience what it's like.
Oh yeah. So there's several ways. One is you just go straight to three words, Deborah Silverman Astrology.com. my website. The other is if you're interested in learning astrology, but you don't want to take the deep dive, you just want to be informed on a daily basis for $22 a month, you go see thestarcommunity.com. And then if you're interested in actually, because the card is open, twice a year we teach. One is in January and one is in September. And when the card opens, there is this magical, it's so much fun, it just opened. I don't know when this is airing. When is this interview coming out?
Tonight.
Oh, well, perfect time. You guys are so perfect. So if you're interested in learning astrology, you just go to, you can go straight to my website and click on Learn.
Okay. All right. So it's easy as that. Deborah Silverman, thank you. And I aloha breezes to you.
Thank you. What a great interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Keep listening to Empower Radio.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Okay, Deborah Silverman, her information is online. You can check it out and take her class. Find out more about astrology. Yes, she is Sting's astrologer. I think that is so funny, though, that the embarrassing moment of saying, yes, that's who I am, and having somebody go, yeah, that's not nice. Okay, it's no fair. But I've been in those moments where you don't know what to say, and so you blurt something out, and then you get that deer in the headlights look and say, I think I hear my name being called somewhere else. I see by, you know, oh yeah. And just you kind of wing it. But the thing about a lot of this is that we all have that need to be in some way, shape, or form acknowledged. And we find that sometimes through very unexpected ways. And you don't know until you try and you put yourself out there and you recover from whatever faux pas you have managed to do. What I like about doing this show and the things that I have in my own personal life is that it allows me to be different. It allows me to do what I like and present my information in the way that I can feel comfortable and confident. I know with my nightlight experience that this is something that's been happening for me for 20 years. It changed over the holidays. Christmas, it was 20 years with a particular light. And these lights only have a life expectancy of a few years. And if there's anything that goes wrong, when I first experienced this paranormal event connecting with this other entity, 1997, December is when it started. The light that I had the encounter with was an automatic light. And so you would go into the whatever room it was in, daytime, the light's off, nighttime, the light comes on. Well, during the daytime, the light would pop on and off, and there were no clouds. There was nothing to keep it from, to make it do what it was doing. And that, I was, good grief, what's happening? So as I'm exploring and trying to figure out how this is happening, I soon come to terms with the fact that this isn't something I can explain. And that's when I learned to channel. That's when I learned to do all these other things and, you know, become more intuitive, become more aware, become more engaged with this non-corporeal world, with the non-physical world, to try and figure out, well, what's happening in my life? Why is this making an appearance now? How do I connect with it? I wanted to figure out how to connect with whatever it was that was manipulating the light. So I constantly talking to my mom, Mom, this is happening. What, this is happening. I drag my aunt into it, and we all have a little powwow and look at the light and do a pendulum session. And yes, there's something going on, and they witness it. And so then I started changing my life, changing the way that I viewed reality. And it was a gradual process. So now 20 years later, when my night light goes out and it's gone, the fact that I have other lights that do that, it's okay. The connection is still there and the lights still work. But the one that I had been focused on, I lost an initial one when I moved from one house to the other, and that light that I'd already had for 20 years, it was one I had been given as a present, and it was a shell light, and it's a very similar one to the one that that burned out. They're like a neon type incandescent. And when I lost it, I had lost my dog. The dog had come to live with me, and he was very much a guardian for me and a teacher, learning how to connect with animals in a different way. He was extraordinary. German Shepherd. He needed a home. He'd already been through four homes and not found his place. We had a little chat. I told him to sit, and the family who brought him to my house, because he wasn't going to stay at their house, apparently the daughters were allergic, and he was high maintenance. And so we went up the street, had a little chat, and I said, sit. And he sat down, which was a total surprise to them. They had no idea he was trained, because he'd been dragging the mom on the leash up the street and back down to the car to show me that, yes, he could work on a leash, but it was on his own terms. So when he sat, okay, we would work together. Well, a few weeks later, he ran off after a squirrel under the fence, and I had no idea what was going to happen. So he'd been gone two or three days, and I put it out there that if we weren't supposed to work together, I could understand that. The night light that I was working with at that time was almost done. It hadn't been on for several days. And with my lights, they flicker. They blink, they flicker, they pop on and off. And that way, that shows me the energy is active. And it had been off. The morning that he came back, I had the intuition that he's on his way. And the light popped on. And that was the last time, and it burned out. And he came walking down the sidewalk about 7 a.m. And my husband said, it's Max. He's come back. He came up the stairs where I was with his tail between his legs and this look on his face like it was an accident. I really didn't mean to run away. I just couldn't figure out how to get back in. And I assume one of the neighbors fed him until he got out from he was a very good magician. He could get out of things with no effort whatsoever. And so I'm sure that wherever he had been being taken care of and loved and adored, and he decided that, okay, I'm going back home. But it was the thing, what I also got with that was that we had an agreement, and I needed to agree that I was going to keep him no matter what. and he needed to agree that he was going to work with me no matter what. And that changed our relationship. The dynamic of that transition changed it tremendously. So losing this contact, this connect in the nightlight, which seems like it's, you know, it's just a light burning out. No, it's a connection. And so, putting in a different light, Christmas Day, I was told 2 days before the light had gradually stopped working the same way. It stayed off instead of coming on and blinking and flickering. So I knew it was nearing the end of its life cycle. And this is so funny because it relates to us as people too, how we go through and we're really at the beginning, we're all bright and everything is, you know, just day glow for the most part, you know, flicker, flicker, blink, blink, all sorts of activity. And then we kind of level off as kind of a little moderate activity. Then toward the end, we have little bursts of activity and we, okay, yeah. Oh, that's cool. No, not so much. Been there, done that. And then at the very end, it's like, you really want to make an effort. Okay. And so that's what this nightlight was doing. So 2 or 3 days before Christmas, it made this fabulous effort because I'm like, oh, please don't burn out. No, you can't burn out. And it's like, it's a life cycle. And getting me ready, conditioned for this transition. And so it does this wonderful 2 or 3 days before light show of blink, blink, flicker, flicker, on and off all day long. And then it's off. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. And I would go over and touch it and it would come on. And when I touched it, a sigh of relief. Okay, it's still there. And then Christmas Day, I got the little prompt. You need to change the light. No, I'm not going to change the light. No. So I'm like, I wait. And then Christmas morning, I get the little reminder. You need to change the light. So I figure out which one I'm going to put in there to change it out, which light that I know the others blink to. I usually just get attached. And so I grab another light and put it in there. It's too bright. It's on all the time, which is what it's supposed to be. I've gotten used to the light that goes off when I go to sleep. It turns itself. So it's technically not a nightlight, which is always is said. We are not a nightlight. So when I go to sleep, the light goes off. I appreciate that because then I can sleep. Because now that I put this other light in and it's totally full blown like an actual nightlight, it's too bright. I have to cover my head. I'm like, okay, this isn't working. So I find a different light that I know is similar to the one that automatically goes on and off. And so I get that one. And now it's kind of acclimating to the on and off. And I still have to cover my head, but I can turn it off and, or on if it's too annoying. And at the same time, it's getting a regular a routine. It's been since Christmas Day of, okay, now I'll be off. Or I just need to get your attention and I'll come on. This is how I connect with that non-corporeal, that spirit world, the world we don't see that is very much around us 24/7. It's there. And this is my reminder and my way of working with that spirit, with that essence, with that non-form of being and knowing. And that I've had to learn in my own way, through my own practice and my own mistakes, of assuming I knew what it was when I didn't, of assuming I could make a connection and understand it. And it really was so much more complex than just a flicker, a blink, a telepathic knowing. I've had people say, well, do you get yes and no answers? Don't you sit there and say, okay, give me twice for yes and once for no, or spell out a language or a dictionary? It's like, no, technically, you're supposed to learn to be telepathic. For me, it's been that, no, you are supposed to, in some way, shape, or form, exercise your new ability or your old ability that you kept dormant until you were ready to start really using it and accessing it. So when it said, you need to get another light, it meant it. I touched it. It came on one last time and it was done. So I had 24 hours And then, you know, the like I said, working up to it, knowing that the light had slowed and that the same kind of activity was gradually decreasing, knowing that it was conserving energy. And that's what it does in terms of the reason when it stays off, the bulb lasts longer. So it's just maintaining a longer lifespan, which I thought, well, that might relate to us too. If we, you know, if we don't go too gung-ho when we're young and do things that are definitely life-threatening and, you know, we survive all that and get into the midlife stage where we're just a little bit more conscious of our mortality, then our own perceptions change. But with the light telling me that this was it, I knew, and I've learned how to be responded, respond better to those telepathic prompts and trust. That's been a very difficult lesson in some cases, because when you're learning to trust this non-corporeal element, there's sometimes you really, really want something to happen and you project an outcome. So in my own way, I had to learn not to be attached to a specific outcome, to trust that I will be given information if I am ready to hear it. And if I will allow that, even if it isn't information I would like to hear or that I prefer, it might actually be in my best interest. And so when we were talking earlier with Deborah Silverman and about the astrology and that those wonderful ways of kind of going in looking ahead and seeing how the climate relates to what's happening in our life and how it resonates. My grandmother did astrology. She from the time I was little, she did the charts, and I've got her books where they're all annotated and all these little elements. And it's so wonderful. She's deceased now. Wonderful to see her handwriting and to see how she spelled my name. You know, it just, I still feel that in the books and the writing. And it's a tangible reminder that she was here. And one of the last things I was doing, because she was present when I started working with the nightlight, one of the last things that I was doing with her was practicing giving energy. And you can call it chi, you can call it Reiki, you can call it healing of some kind, but I practiced giving her energy. And it was a thing of not knowing that I could do it and it made any difference. But for her, she felt it and she affirmed that, yes, there was something happening. She gave me confidence in my own ability and to help me to trust some of this stuff that was happening so fast that I didn't really know how to handle all of it. And with the nightlight changing now to me using other lights, I'm having to expand my, in a lot of ways, my own abilities and my own awareness and my comfort zone of working and being more public with some of the things that I do, because now I feel that I can trust my sources and trust the insight and know that there is a reason. Even if some things happen that have a negative outcome in the moment, there is a greater good. There's a higher purpose. And we aren't always supposed to know the outcome. Sometimes we're supposed to deal with the process. And in her book, talking about the firemen, you know, flying over the Trade Center as it was in flames and knowing, oh my God, what happened? Well, why? And there are moments when we are in some way, shape, or form extricated, when we are pulled out of a crisis. And there's no perfect answer, except there's a reason that you're here. And when it's time for you to go, you'll leave. That's plain and simple. But if you're still here, if you're still present, if you've still got life in you, there is a reason you are here. And sometimes it isn't for yourself. It's for others. It's because you're holding space for something else that needs to be here, and it wouldn't be here without you. The interviews I've done with people that I really have enjoyed are the people who have these mystical awakenings, these non-corporeal connections that all of a sudden things are more obvious, that we aren't just physical beings, that we have these other connections. Annie Kagan, in her book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, is an example of, she didn't expect that there would be any kind of connection after her brother died. And when that happened, it was a real up close and personal front and center connection. So she was just in some way, shape, or form ready to learn and know more. And that's, I think, what a lot of this is. We don't plan for it. We don't anticipate it. It just happens. And with the Nightlight, 20 years of working with this connection has changed my perspective and changed my appreciation for not knowing and understanding that all is well. All is well. We have to learn so many things in life about who we are and our place and what's expected. And we learn that before we're really aware of what the other alternatives are, of not who we are supposed to be, but who we can be. And in interviewing people who have either broken the mold or shifted from the things that were expected of them or had to go against the family, and you know, I'm going to be psychic. I can't help it. It's not going away. It's just what I do. Anyway, there's a lot going on that challenges us to stay focused and centered on the things that we value most. And a lot of that has to do with understanding your place, your role, your persona, your perception, your own being as valuable. That it does make a difference who you are. That it does matter. Even if your own belief system, if your own experiences are contrary to everyone in your circle, to everyone in your sphere, everyone on the planet. Because in some way, shape, or form, you're adding value, you're adding insight, you're adding experience, you're adding a way for Source to learn the world, to learn something new, to expand, to evolve, to create. So even if whatever you are doing isn't making headlines, it isn't getting name recognition, it isn't bringing in buku bucks, there's something of value in you that needed to be born in this moment. And that is where my Nightlight has helped me, because it hasn't been a billboard. It hasn't been earth-shattering. It hasn't been, in some ways, believable to other people. But it's been here for me. And that was at the beginning. I was so worried that it would stop and that it was just a temporary thing. And after 20 years, my gosh, you know, and I've gone through a couple of lights, but losing them when they burn out is just like losing a person. And that's just really a weird thing to say. But it has essence and it has being. And it reminds me that all of the animals, all the plants, all the trees, all the other things in our reality have something of value. And we learn so much more when we recognize that. And it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean we don't accidentally hurt something without thinking and then remembering, oh my, that's a being. It has consciousness. It has awareness. It's not the same as me, but that doesn't mean it's less valuable, less worthy, or less conscious. It's just here in a different form. So you learn humility. You learn, in a lot of ways, a respect for things that you don't understand and beings and people you don't relate to. But you understand that in their community and in their way, they are providing insight, awareness, connection, growth, knowledge, some way, shape, or form, value. So we're changing a lot as we go through these tumultuous times. We're changing on so many levels with our technology, with the information, with the planet shifting. Don't lose your sense of worth, your sense of value, not to trample somebody else, but to say, what is going on? What is wonderful? What is awesome? What is inspiring? What is amazing? What is magical? What is unique about this moment? There is always something curious happening, because we will never, nor are we intended, to have all of our answers while we're here. That's to keep it going and to keep it fun and to keep it interesting and to keep it exciting. So even when I lose this wonderful little connection that had been showing up through a particular form, I have been instructed to switch and to incorporate and transition to allow this continuation of the experience in another format. So the other light is now learning how to connect with me, not to shine in my face all night, and to go off when I'm asleep, which is, I just thought, always thought that was so fascinating because, you know, the time you need the nightlight was you get up in the middle of the night and you want to find your way out of the bedroom to the bathroom, to the kitchen, to the hallway, to somewhere, and the nightlight does not come on. So you bump into the bed, the cat, the dog, and the door on the way out thinking, why do I have that nightlight? And then you realize, because when the nightlight is on, then you can't sleep because the nightlight is too bright. At least that was what happened with me, and realizing I really appreciated the fact that it stayed off, but it would come on. Used to be that it would come on at certain times, which is what it's doing now, is it would come on certain times when I was like half awake, half asleep, to see, to kind of check in, you know, all right, are you dreaming? What are you thinking? You know, focus on that one. Bring that one into closer view. And so it's this conversation that I would have with these other, with my guides, with my guardians, with these other elements that I connect with. And that's a good time because it's quiet and there's no disruption. It's just that thing of, okay, are you awake? Or are you asleep? Are you interested? Are you paying attention? Are you open to receiving? And that's been an incredible, incredible journey. And it's continuing. It's just continuing with a new light in a new form and a very engaging, in my way of thinking, connection and communication with a non-corporeal being. So they're here all around us. And we can make the best of it or the worst of it, the most of it or the least of it. It's us. I, you, he, she, all of us in this moment determining who we are and what we can be. And at this point, I'm still in the corporeal form. So obviously, there is something I'm here to do. Do I know exactly what that is? I have an indication. Most of it involves learning to be a better me in whatever way that transpires. But the real part of it is that no matter what it is, the most important part is personal. And that we do without a crowd, without a group who judges us. It isn't for public consumption. It's something that we know and that we are called upon to work through. So as you're making your way in the world, daytime, nighttime, New Year's, old years, whatever, you know, wherever you are in your life, if you're midlife, young, old, whatever projection you have on yourself at this moment. Remember, in spirit, there's no age, there's no time, there's no limit. You are incredibly, incredibly gifted. You can do anything you set your mind to, but you will have to look at the world in a way that frees up all of those limitations. And sometimes that involves getting out of the body and into the spirit so that you can come back into the body and appreciate everything here that's only temporary. It doesn't mean we make it stay or we keep it in the state that is in. Everything evolves. Everything dies. It transitions is the term they prefer that I use. But when I look at the dead nightlight, I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, it's not coming back to life. But I look at the new nightlight and I think, gosh, it is so cool to be here in this moment, to experience these things and still be at a loss to explain how fantastic that is, just to know that there are some things that will never have a good explanation. And that doesn't mean they aren't real. So I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the opportunity to make these connections. And I hope in some way, shape, or form, you experience magic and you live to tell the tale in the way that it works for you, in the way that it expresses itself in you, through you, around you. Because that's what makes life, at least in my perception, my perceptive, my awareness, my knowing, incredible. Thanks for listening. See ya.